بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. نعم. So as we mentioned, we're going to continue with the rights of the spouses, and we're reading from a book, حق الزوجين, The Rights of the Spouses, by الشيخ دكتور سليمان الروحيلي. May Allah preserve him. So last night we mentioned that the man has how many rights upon his wife? 9, right? Okay. And I'm going to give you a quiz in a little bit to see if we remember how many rights there are. And we said that the woman has how many rights upon her husband? Okay, so I want you, if you're taking notes, to make a note and begin with 1, and as you go through that, 2, and likewise. So we can have these rights. Inshallah ta'ala, we hope that this will be a benefit. فَأَقُولْ وَبِاللَّهِ تَوْفِيقُ. The Shaykh begins by saying the rights of the wife. He said, إِنَّ الزَّوْجْ رَبَّانُ السَّفِينَ. He said that verily the husband, he is the captain of the ship. He says, and he is the supervisor of the home. And just as he has rights that are due to him, he has rights that are upon him. So therefore, the Muslim husband, he seeks to get close to Allah by fulfilling the rights of his wife. Right? Remember he said about the wife last night? He said the same thing about the husband. The husband tries to get close to Allah by giving his wife her rights. He said, and he fulfills the rights of his wife, لأنه راعٍ, because he is the shepherd and the messenger of Allah, صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. He said, كلكم راعٍ وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته. He said, all of you are shepherds, and everyone shall be questioned about his flock. He said, so the imam is a shepherd, and he will be questioned about his flock. والرجل راعٍ في أهله. And the man is a shepherd with his family, and he shall be questioned about his flock. He said, so therefore the righteous man, he knows that he is responsible for his wife, and he is going to be questioned about that. So therefore he strives his best, the best that he can, to give her good advice and to fulfill all of her rights, because he knows that this is from taqwa of Allah Ta'ala, as it was said by the Messenger of Allah in a hadith which can be found in Muslim, salawatullah salam alayhi, he said, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ فِي النِّسَاءِ. So have fear of Allah concerning the woman. He said, so therefore the righteous man is going to give his wife her rights, because he knows that this is a command that he received from the Messenger of Allah, salawatullah salam alayhi, and he is afraid of neglecting that command. As he said, استوصوا بالنساء خيرا. Treat the woman kindly. He said, so therefore the righteous blessed man is going to give his wife her rights, because he knows it is an amana, it is a trust that he has. And who is the trust from? This trust that a man has being married to his wife is a trust from who? From Allah Ta'ala, the Lord of the Alameen, the Lord of the heavens and the earth. He is the one who gave him this wife as a trust. As can be found in the long hadith of Jabir, he said, you have taken them as a trust from Allah. You have married this woman as a trust from Allah. He said, so therefore, the blessed Muslim husband, he is going to give her her rights, not because he wants something back in return, right? But he is going to give her her rights because he knows that Allah Ta'ala is going to question him about it on the Day of Judgment. He said, so therefore, it is befitting for us, O men, to learn the rights that our wives have and to teach it to our sons. We have to teach our sons what rights they have to give when they get married. So he begins with the first right. You ready? He said, the first right, من حق الزوجة على زوجها أن ينفق عليها, that he spends upon her. The first right that your wife has upon you is that you spend upon her based upon that which is normal, based upon that which is the custom of the people, as the Sheikh mentioned yesterday. He said, and that you feed her when you eat, and that you clothe her when you put clothes on. He said, so it is necessary for the man to spend upon his wife, and this includes feeding her and giving her clothing. He said, and the man does not go to the extreme in this matter. He has not become extravagant, nor does he become stingy. Right? You have to have that middle ground. You're not extravagant, nor are you stingy, but you spend upon her based upon that which is the custom of the people. He said, well, he said, the man does not go above his ability, but he does that which is normal. And then he mentioned the statement of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, walahunna alaykum rizquhun. And upon you is their provision, meaning that you have to provide for them, and kiswatuhun bil ma'ruf, and their clothing according to that which is reasonable. And this is from the same hadith of Jabir. Again, he said, for them, from you is their provision and their clothing according to that which is normal. So the first right that they have upon us is what? Nafaka, to spend. The second right, he says, min haqqi zawja ala zawjiha an yuhsina ilayha, to be kind to her. The second right that they have upon you is to be kind to them. Naam. He said, and this kindness is again based upon the customary, that which is custom. He said, and a man is not going to do something that is in opposition to the Sharia of Allah Ta'ala. And he said, this is based upon the hadith which can be found in At-Tirmidhi, that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَلَا وَحَقُّهُنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ أَن تُحْسِنُوا إِلَيْهِنَّ. And verily their right that they have upon you is that you are kind to them. This is a command, right? This is a right that they have upon you is that you are kind to them. So number one is what? To spend upon them. And number two is what? Number three, from the third right that they have upon you is, he said, مِنْ حَقِّ زَوْجَ عَلَى زَوْجِهَا أَلَى يَضْرِبَ أَلَى يَضْرِبُهَا, that he does not beat her. He said, and there, the man is not given the permission to hit his wife except if he fears that she is going to cause some type of fitna or disobedience in the home, if she disobeys him. And then this beating, as the Sheikh mentioned yesterday, is what? It's a, not a beating. In America, we say beating, you think of someone calling 911, someone getting a beat down. It's not like that. Rather, it's a discipline to let her know that she should not go against what Allah Ta'ala and the Messenger said. It's not a beating, right? As it's not permissible to hit her in the face, and as the Sheikh mentioned yesterday, it's not something which is going to cause her to become hurt or her skin to become broken, right? This is going above the bounds. And even before that, before he gets to that, he should do what? He speaks to her verbally and gives her nasiha. He advises her. If she doesn't listen to that, he makes the warning more stern. And then he can even boycott her bed. He will boycott being in the same bed with her. And then if that doesn't work, he does a light hitting in order to make her pay attention. But it's not for revenge. And then he reiterates, it's not permissible for the man to hit her in the face at all. There's no case when the man can hit his wife in the face. And then he mentions a narration which is a threat to those who like to beat people down. He said that the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, man daraba sultan ghulman, whoever beats someone with a whip oppressively, because we know there's a time when people can be lashed for fornicating. He said, whoever beats someone with a whip oppressively, he shall be taken to account on the day of judgment. Now, and then the Shaykh, he says, and for those men who view themselves as strong, and they think they are tough, and they get arrogant because they can beat their wives, he said, understand that your wife has a wali. Your wife has a guardian who will take revenge on her behalf. And her guardian is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he will take revenge on her behalf against you. He said, so be afraid that you don't become arrogant and beat your wife, because she has a guardian who will take revenge on her behalf, and you will be punished for that. Now, And then he also mentioned the hadith, لَا تَذْرَبُوا إِمَاءَ اللَّهِ. Do not beat the female slaves of Allah. Now when the Sahaba heard this, as comes in the hadith of Umar, when they were told, don't beat the slaves of Allah, the female slaves of Allah. This was an absolute restriction. And then some of the women, they began to, when they heard that, they began to disobey the husband. And they began to disrespect the husband. So he went back and said, oh, Messenger of Allah, they are disrespecting us. So then he allowed them to beat them and to hit them, to discipline them, but it still was never a beating. And after he did that, he said, tonight, a great deal of women came to the family of Muhammad complaining about their husbands, and those they are complaining about, they are not the best of you. And the Sheikh, yesterday, Sheikh Fawad al-Amri, he gave us his best example. He said that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that he never, ever hit his wives. Ever. Never hit his wives or never hit anyone outside of war. So this is the best example that we have. Okay, so number one is what? Spending upon them. Number two is what? To be good to them. And number three is what? Number four. Brothers, for number four, we're going to have to do subcategories. Okay? You know we're writing the numbers, right? So for number four, I want you to write, we're going to do subcategories. A, B, C, and D, right? Because he's going to break it down. Number four is that he is loving to her. He is loving to her. Now, the Sheikh is going to give you examples of how to be loving. So, under number four, I want you to write A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I. He gives you nine examples on how you can be loving to your wife, all right? So number four in general is to be loving to your wife, okay? Now, A, the first way is to be loving to her with your tongue, that you say kind words to her, and that you are loving to her in the way that you address and speak to her, and that you tell her how much you love her. He said, and just like for the women, you can even exaggerate on how much you love her. You can tell her that you love her a great deal and you may only love her just a little bit. But you exaggerate and you tell her how much you really love her. He said, and once again, this is the ruqsa, the time where a little bit of lying is allowed when a man is speaking to his wife or the wife is speaking to the husband, that they can go ahead and they can exaggerate on how much they love them. If you are trying to bring about peace and love inside the home. And you also tell her how beautiful she is. You tell her how good she looks, right? Now, even if you don't think that she is as attractive as you are telling her, but you tell her that anyway. Now, that's A. Okay? B. And for this one, if the woman want to go and leave and get something to drink, some refreshments, then we'll read B. This is kind of just for the men. It says, B, if your wife asks you to get her something and you are not able to get it for her, then in order to keep the peace, you say, I'll get it for you, inshallah. If your wife asks you to get something for her, and you know that your pockets are kind of tight, and you can't get it for her right then, you say, I'll get it for you, inshallah. He says, because you know that if you tell her right then you can't get it, it's going to be a little bit of, you know, fussing in the home, and the peace is going to go away. So you tell her, okay, it's coming. He said, if she comes back to you and asks for it again, he says, you tell her, I didn't find it at the price that I was trying to get it at. He says this type of lying, if you want to call it, is permissible. So this B is what? Is that you put her off for a minute, okay? Now, C, and this is a good one, that and this is what he mentioned yesterday, is that the man beautify himself for his wife according to what is befitting for men to do. Now, as we mentioned, there's some things that are not befitting for a man to do. As Sheikh Hamoud Al-Tawajiri, he mentioned that the man should not wear a watch that dangles like a woman's bracelet. Man, tighten up your watch. Your watch should be tight for a man, right? You know how women, they wear bracelets that dangle. Some men, they wear watches and they dangle a little bit. He said that resembles the bracelet of a woman. So a man's going to beautify himself. That's C. The man should beautify himself according to what is reasonable for a man. He said, and also a man should put on oil and have a nice appearance for his wife. And then he mentioned the verse in Surah Baqarah, verse number 228. وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. And for them is similar to what is upon them and that which is reasonable. And as the Shaykh mentioned yesterday, the hadith of the great Sahaba, Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, who was the explainer of the Quran, he said, verily, I love to beautify myself for my wife just as I want her to beautify herself for me, right? Everyone wants for the woman to beautify themselves, but the man also has to understand that the woman wants to see something nice too, that the man beautifies himself for his wife also. Now, all right, so what letter are we on right now? D. He says, from being loving to your wife, and you share ha, fi khidmat al bayt. From being loving to your wife is that you help her with housework. That you help her around the house. Help her do some housework. And then he gives the example from the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This hadith can be found has been collected by Ibn Abi Shaybah. This is a beautiful hadith. He said, they said about him that كَانَ يَكُنْ فِي مِحْنَةِ أَحْلِهِ فَإِذَا حَضَرَتِ الصَّلَاةِ خَرَجَ إِلَيْهَا. That he used to be in the service of his family, and when the prayer time came, he went out to pray. When he was at home, he was in the service of his family, and when the prayer time came, he went out to pray. So he helped around the house, right? We know he used to sew his clothes, he used to milk his animals, and he had more than one wife. He had children, but he didn't mind doing housework, okay? So the man can help out with the chores of the home. Naam. E. That he used to. Islam. Now, that he used to play with his wives. That he would play with them. Be playful with his wives. And then, of course, he brings the famous hadith of our mother Aisha, radhiallahu anha, that one time, and keep in mind that when this event occurred, the Sheikh said he was about 53 years old. And he was on an expedition with the companions, right? And so he said to his companion, Taqaddamu, go forward. He was with his companions on a journey. And his wife, Aisha, was with them too. And he said to his companions, go forward. And he said to his wife, Aisha, Ta'ali. He said, come here. I'm going to race you. He said, I'm going to race you. Aisha is the one narrating this hadith. She said, so I raced him and I beat him. Right? So, the Sheikh said, subhanAllah. He said, look at this. He said, he was over 50 years old. And he was in charge of the ummah. As you find many of the men, and they don't want to play with their wives, they say they're too busy. He said he was carrying a burden that a million men couldn't carry. He was in charge of the ummah. He was responsible for the revelation. And yet and still he took time out to play with his wives. And he was older. He wasn't like he was a young man. Some men may say, well, I'm too old for that now. He was an older man. He took time out to play with his wives. Aisha, radhiallahu anha, she continues on with the narration. She says, so time went by. And she forgot about what had happened. She forgot about the race. And then she did what? She gained some weight. And she wasn't as small as she was before. So they went out on another journey. And he said to his companions, go forward. And he said to his wife Aisha, he said, come here, I'm going to race you. And she said, how can I race you when I've gained all this weight? And he said, oh, you're going to race me. You're surely going to race me. Said, so then he raced her, and he beat her that time. And then he began to laugh when he beat her. He began to laugh because he was payback, and she had forgot about the previous race. He said, subhanAllah. He said, he would play with his wives, and he would be loving to them. He said, and according to what we believe, because of the time frame, that he was at the end of his life when this last race occurred. He was at the end of his life. None. What letter are we on now? F. Okay? None. Is sharing food with your wife. Sharing food with her. Because this is something that's what? It's romantic. You and your wife, you got a drink, you pass it around, food, you pass it around, and he brings the hadith that has been collected by a Muslim, that Aisha, she said that I used to make meat when I was on my menses. And so I gave some to the Prophet, and he bit from it from the same place that my mouth had been. And I had something to drink, and I passed it to him, and he turned the glass to drink from the same place I had drank from. So sharing the food is a way that you can have a romantic time with your wife. H. G. Brothers paying attention. Right? Said that he used to cuddle with her. They used to cuddle together. And this comes also from the hadith of Aisha radhiallahu anha that has been collected by Abu Dawood. Said that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam used to put his head in my lap and read while I was menstruating or recite. He used to put his head in my lap and recite while I was menstruating. So they would cuddle together, right? And brothers, pay attention, because some of the brothers, like we said yesterday, brothers are too hard. Brothers are too hard with their wives, and brothers need to be gentle, right? Now, we're on H, right? He said, they would sleep under the same blanket. They would sleep under the same blanket, even if she was menstruating. And he said that, and if some blood was to get on him, he would just wash it off. So they would sleep under the same blanket, even if she was menstruating. And if some blood was to get on him, he would just wash it off. And they would bathe together. They would bathe. And this hadith has been found in Bukhari. Said that they would bathe in the same tub. Bathing together is a romantic thing that the men can do with their wives. Now, he said, so we find that some of the men, they say that they don't have time to spend with their wives, and this is a mistake because this is the best example that we have of him spending time with his wives. All right, what number are we on now? We're back to number 5, right? He said number 5 is that the man not curse or insult his wife. And part of this is him, the sheikh said, that he does not insult her appearance. And you find this amazing, right? A man's wife will give him 2 or 3 children, and then he complains she's overweight. As he doesn't know that having children causes you to gain weight, because he's never did it before, but he's not smart enough to understand that. So she gives him children, and he's upset that she gained weight. SubhanAllah. The sheikh said, the man should not curse or insult his wife, or insult her appearance or her actions. And then he brought the hadith, la yukabbih, and this word means don't defile. But the ulama say it means like don't defame or don't slander, like don't insult your wife. This hadith is from Abu Dawood. So number 1 is what? Spin upon her. Number 2, Be kind. Number three? Not to beat her. Number four? Be loving. A? No, we good. That's too hard. Number five? Not curse her and sow her, all right? Number six. Number six is that the man should not abandon her. He should not boycott her. He says, and if there comes a reason that she has to be boycotted, then he only does it inside of the home. He only does it inside the home. So here is the boycott. It shouldn't be done except inside of the home, right? So in other words, a man should not get upset and slam the door and run out the house, right? If there's a boycott, then it should be restricted to being done inside of the home. And then he mentions the hadith. He said, لا يحجر إلا في البيت. Do not boycott them except inside of the home. So if you boycott your wife, it's going to be done inside of the home. Number seven, he said that the man should not expose the secrets of his wife. Just like what he said, for the rights of the husband. Anything that the wife has closed the door upon, the man should not expose the secrets of his wife. What's number one? Spending. Number two? Kind. Three? Not beaten. Four? To be loving. Five? Not cursing. Six? Not boycott except inside the home. Number seven? Not exposing the secrets. Number eight? He said number eight is that the man should not become angry with her only looking at her faults. That the man should not become angry with her only looking at her faults. He said, but rather the man should look at the good that the woman has and try to exalt the good and try to minimize her faults. He says he tries the best that he can to only see good in her. And then he brought the famous hadith, which can be found in Muslim. لا يفرق مؤمن مؤمنا. Let not a believing man hate a believing woman. إن كره منها خلقا رضي منها آخر. If he hates a character in her, he's surely going to see a character that he is pleased with. So number eight is what? That the man should not, what? Hate his wife. He should not hate her, only looking at her faults and shortcomings, okay? Now, number eight is that the man should not hate his wife, only looking at her shortcomings, right? The man shouldn't hate her, only looking at her shortcomings. Rather, he should look at the good that she has with her. Exalt the good and minimize her shortcomings. Now, number nine. Number nine is that he should make things easy upon her, meaning that the chores and things that he requires from her, he should make it easy, right? And only ask her to do that which is easy for her to do. He should make things easy upon her. And then he brings the famous hadith, which can be found in Bukhari. Be kind to the women. فَإِنَّ الْمَرْأَ خُلَقَتْ Because really the woman was created from what? From the rib. And verily, the most crooked part of the rib is the top part of it. And if you try to straighten it out completely, you're going to break it. And if you leave it alone, it's going to remain crooked. So therefore, be kind to the woman. And in another narration, he said, verily, the woman was created from the rib. And you are not going to make it straight. Now, and if you leave it alone, it's going to be crooked. And to straighten it out completely is to break it. And to break it is to divorce her. He said, so what we intend by this, men, is that you know the nature of the woman. And this is what we tell the brothers all the time, right? That thing that we love about the woman is the thing that makes it difficult to be married to them, is that they're a woman, right? But we have to know the nature of a woman, and she's not like a man. They're more emotional. And so a man cannot talk to your wife like you would speak to a brother. You have to deal with your wife knowing that she is a bit emotional. Okay? Number one is what? Spin. Number two? Be kind. Number three? Not to beat her. Number four? To be loving. Number five? Huh? Not to insult her, number six? Not to what? Not to boycott, number seven? Not to expose the secrets, number eight? Not to hate her, number nine? Make things easy for her, number 10. Number 10 may sound like one of the previous ones, but Sheikh gives some detail. Okay? He says, "And yakun ma'aha ala ahsin khuluq." He says that he should have the best manners with his wife. The best manners with his wife. Meaning that out of everyone, his wife should see the best of him. He says, وَإِنَّ الْبَعْرَ الرِّجَالِ مِنْ أَحْسَنِ النَّاسِ أَخْرَاقًا فِي أَسْوَاقٍ. He says, some of the men, they have the best manners in the marketplace. And they have the best manners when they're with their friends. And you find some of the men like this, right? If they go out to the store and they see the non-Muslim woman, they're polite and nice. Say, I'm got to give a dawah, man. Dawah is to be nice. But the Sheikh said, but إِذَا دَخَلَ بَيْتِهِ كَانَ أَسْرًا كَاسِرًا. He said, but when he goes home, he's a ferocious lion. He's nice outside with a strange woman. He has good dawah to be nice, brother. He's nice with the strangers. He said he's nice with his friends. But when he goes back home, he's a lion to his wife. His own wife, he's a lion. But to the strangers, good brother. He said, when he's at home, you only see him being angry and mad and cursing. And you don't hear, he said, لَا يُسْمَعْ لَهُ صَوْتًا حَسَنًا. He said, and you don't even hear a good voice from him. And you don't hear a good word from him. He said, and the Messenger of Allah, صَلَوَاتُ اللَّهِ وَسَلَامُ عَلَيْهِ, he said, أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُ خُلَقًا. He said that the most complete believers in faith are those that have the best what? The best manners. He said, وَخَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِي, and the best of you are the best of you to your wives. Then the Sheikh, he says, brother, there is no good in you if you want to rush out and help your friends, but you don't help your wife. There's no good in you if you want to rush out and help your buddies, but you don't help your wife. He said, there is no good in you if you are kind to your friends, but you are mean to your wife. He said, but if you can combine the two together, mean that you're nice to your wife and you're kind to your friends, then have glad tidings that you have combined both two areas of good. Right? So what's number 10? Show your wife the best of you, brothers. The best. You know, the brother's intimate with his wife. The wife bears them children. She's cooking your dinner, washing your clothes, doing everything. And brother's outside being kind to women, strangers. This is ajeeb. And then he mentioned the hadith, which can be found in At-Tirmidhi. خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَحْلِي وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَحْلِي. The best of you are those who are the best to their families, and I am the best to my family. The Prophet Muhammad, he said that he was the best of everyone to his family. Now, number one is what? Spend, two, three, four, five, six. I've got some ikhtilaf. Okay, number seven. Number six is not to boycott. Number seven is what? Number eight, nine, 10, 11. Pay attention, all right. He said, number 11, and يَكُنْ سَبَبًا فِي وَقَايَتِهَا مِنَ النَّارِ, that the husband should be a reason for his wife being saved from the hellfire. The husband should be a reason for his wife being saved from the hellfire. And this is by him teaching her and ordering her with good and forbidding her from evil. Do the brothers have time that they set aside to teach their families? Study time in the home? Do you know when you get married, the first day you should do that? The first day you get married. Because if you wait the next week, it's probably going to be too late. You get busy. Brothers need to have time that they set aside, even if you're coming out to lectures, you're listening to tapes, you know, you're reading books together. He said the man should be a reason for his family being saved from the fire by enjoining her with good, forbidding her from evil, teaching her, and being patient upon that, and forbidding her from that which will be a cause for her to enter the fire. And then he brought the verse, which everyone knows in Surah Tahrim, قُوْ أَنفُسُكُمْ وَأَحْلِيكُمْ نَارًا وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ. And oh, you believe, save yourselves and your families from a fire whose fuel is men and stones. Question. A brother is married to a woman. They have children. They all die and all go to paradise. Are they going to be together or are they going to be separated? Right? Anybody married here right now? Is anybody married? Just two people married? Okay. More people married, right? If you die upon Tawheed, may Allah make me and you die upon Tawheed and our families, and you're married now, are you going to be married with your wife in paradise? Are you and your kids going to be together in paradise? Are the families going to be together or separated in the next life? Okay. The brother said, Amu, he said, if they are die upon Tawheed, they go to paradise, they'll be together. Everybody agree with that? Can I get some delil? Can I get some proof of that? Okay. Jazakallah khair. Anybody else? You got wife and kids and you die, you going to paradise? And everybody goes to paradise, are you going to be together or not? Anybody know? Okay. Jazakallah khair. There's an ayat that mentions it. Jazakallah khair. Okay, Jazakallah khair. Okay. What my brother right here is talking about, Jazakallah khair, may Allah reward him with the good, he's speaking about what's going to happen on the Day of Judgment. On the Day of Judgment is every man for themselves. يَوْمَ يُفِرُّ مَرْءٌ مِنْ أَخِيهِ. The day that the person is going to flee from his brother. وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ. And his mother and his father. So on the Day of Judgment, everyone's going to flee from everyone. But we're speaking about when the people go to paradise. Will the families be reunited or will they be separated? Is that okay? I'm going to get a little bit of proof there, Sheikh. Okay. Is that okay? Anybody else? You got something? Okay. Anybody else? Huh? Okay. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَاتَّبَعَتْهُمْ ذُرِّيَّتُهُمْ بِإِيمَانٍ أَلْحَقْنَاهُمْ بِهِمْ. And those who believe and their offspring follow them in faith, we shall unite them together. Allahu Akbar. Those who believe and their offspring follow them in faith, we shall unite them together. So the families will be united in paradise. This is something to strive for, right? That the families will be reunited and married. People in paradise are going to be married, Yaquan. As comes in the hadith, there will be no azib. There will be no one in paradise who will be single. May Allah make me and you from the inhabitants of paradise. How long do the people stay in paradise? خالدين فيها أبدا. Forever. And there is no nighttime. There is no sleeping. There is no boredom. The people in paradise forever, never getting bored, never sleeping, never getting tired, no bathrooms in paradise, not getting sick. That's not something to strive for. That's not something to be grateful that Allah Ta'ala made us Muslims. And so we ask Allah Ta'ala to allow us to die upon this. And the greatest dua for guidance is what? There was a dua that the Messenger of Allah made more than any other dua for guidance. Anybody know what it was? Okay. The brother said, Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. Was there anyone that he made more than that? For guidance? Okay. How about ihdina siratul mustaqim? Guide us to the right path. Is this a dua? It's a dua. And the ulama, they explain, why is it that all Muslims make this dua? And Allah Ta'ala has commanded us to make this dua how many times a day? Commanded to make this dua how many times? 17 times a day. You have been commanded to make this dua. So why is it that people make this dua and it doesn't work for them? Said that the dua, Allah Ta'ala has not answered the dua from a heart that's heedless. You have to have khushu when making this dua. As one of the salaf, he saw a man playing with some rocks, saying, oh Allah, give me the shoreen in paradise. Give me some rivers in paradise. That's not a dua. It's not a dua. The dua has to be focused, all right? So the shahid here, Yaquan, is that the man should be a reason for his family being safe from the fire. And then he brings the verse, وَأْمُرْ أَحْلَكْ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْتَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. And order your family with prayer and be patient upon it. Number 12, last one, subhanAllah. That the man should have some type of jealousy for his wife. The man should have some type of jealousy for his wife. He said, but it's the jealousy of a person with some common sense. He said, it's the jealousy that you want to protect her from evil. It's the jealousy that you don't want any part of her body to be shown to a non-mahram man. It's a jealousy that you don't want her to look at another man. It's a jealousy that you don't want her to speak with a man without need. He said, but as for the jealousy, that means you're going to spy on your wife without any reason. She hasn't done anything wrong. He said, because some of the husbands, they spy on their wives and they have doubt about their wives. He said, and if the man enters the home, the first thing that he does is go look at her cell phone, look at the call log. He want to know who she'd been talking to when he was out the house. He said, or if the phone rings, he wants to look at the number, who's calling. Or if she's on the phone, he goes and sits right beside her so he can listen to see if he hears a man's voice on the other side. He said, this is the type of jealousy that's overboard. If the woman has not done anything to deserve this, then this is, the man is going overboard. He says, in this type of man, he thinks everyone wants his wife. He says, everyone wants my wife. This type of jealousy is overboard. And he mentioned the hadith, what can be found in the Sunan of Abu Dawud. He said that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that there is verily a type of jealousy that Allah loves, and there is a type of jealousy that Allah hates. As for the type of jealousy that Allah loves, it is that which is based upon a reason, meaning there is doubt, there's a reason to be jealous. And as for the jealousy that Allah Ta'ala hates, it is a type of jealousy that is not based upon any reasonable doubt. Now, so a quick review to make sure that your brothers were on point paying attention. Number one was what? Spend upon her. Number two, be kind. Number three, not to beat her. Number four, to be loving. Number five, not to curse or insult her. Number six, not to boycott, except if it's a boycott that's inside the home. Seven, not to expose her secrets. Number eight, he should not hate his wife. Nine, make things easy upon her. Ten, best of manners are 11. To be a reason that she's safe in the hellfire. Number 12. That he should be jealous of her with a jealousy of a person with some common sense. A normal type of jealousy. Now, so the Sheikh, he ends the book by saying, this is the way of a righteous husband. As for the husband that is not righteous, then he wants to request all of his rights from his wife, and he doesn't even know her rights. He wants everything, but he doesn't even know what he has to give her. Now, he said, and if she requests something from him, he frowns up. He gets upset. Everything that she asks him about, he gets upset. And when he goes in the house, he's frowning. And he doesn't beautify himself. He's looking disheveled. But when he goes outside the house, the sheikh says he perfumes himself. He combs his beard up. He brushes his hair. He makes his beard, you know, nice and fluffy, the sheikh says, when he goes outside. He says, فَإِذَا عَادَ إِلَىٰ بَيْتِهِ. But when he comes back home, he's busy. And many of the wives complain that many of the husbands, when they come home, they go straight to which room? The computer room. And they own the computer. And they have no time for their families. They leave home, come back home, go straight to the computer. Don't even speak to the wife. Don't have dinner with the wives. Sheikh Uthaymeen, alayhi rahmatullah, he says one of the main reasons that men or the families have problems with their children, he said, you find that people come to him when their kids are teenagers and they say, Sheikh, my child doesn't listen to me. Help me out. And the Sheikh says, it's your fault because you did not have lunch and dinner with them when they were young. He said, if you don't have lunch and dinner with your child when they're young, he said, it makes a barrier between you and them. And then when they become teenagers, they don't want to talk to you now. They don't trust you anymore because you didn't establish that bond with them when they were young. So something as simple as having lunch and dinner with your children can make a bond. As they say, when that tree is small, you can mold it any way you want to. When it gets big, all you can do is chop it down. You can't mold a big tree, right? So that tarbiyah, it starts when that person is young, that child is young. Now, he says, so the man has to be loving inside the home, and he said, and when the man is not, and he's always busy inside the home, this is the reason that leads to divorce. Now, so inshallah ta'ala, we'll stop right here. Hopefully we have all of the three rights. And the sheikh, he ends by mentioning he mentions one more point. This is a very important point. He also says that from the best things that you can do to have a happy home is that you and your wife do ibadah together. That you and your wife worship together, right? There has to be a time that you do worship together. And then he brings the famous hadith, which has been collected by Abu Dawood. He says, may Allah have mercy upon the man. Qama min al-layl. He stands up at night to pray. So he prays and he wakes up his wife for her to pray. And if she does not want to get up, what does he do? He sprinkles some water in her face to get her up. And he says, may Allah have mercy upon the woman. She stands up at night to pray. And she wakes her husband up. And if he does not want to get up, she sprinkles some water in his face. So the men and women have to worship together. Now, and then he mentions the example of a home that does remember Allah, and the home that does not have dhikr of Allah Ta'ala is like the difference of a home that's alive and a home that is dead. Now, I have to read it slowly?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so brothers can bear with me. Someone is requesting that we read these 12 again. The first one is that the man spends upon his wife. That the man spends upon his wife, and this spending includes food and clothing and, of course, the shelter, right? The man is responsible for these things, that which is normal, right? And normal in America, if you marry a woman, you're going to what? House her. We always advise the brothers, don't move in with the woman. All right? You bring her into your home. So the first thing is what? That the man should spend upon her. Number two is that the man yuhsin ilayha, that he is kind to her. Okay? So first one is to spend. Number two is to be kind to her. Number three is to not beat her. Not beat her. Right? Number four is to be loving with your wife. And of course, the Sheikh went through the different ways that a person can be loving to his wife. He mentioned several so far as being loving to her in speech, putting her off if he can't get something right away, beautifying himself for her, helping around the house with the chores, playing with her, eating or sharing food with her, cuddling with her, sleeping in the same blanket with her, and bathing together are some of the ones that he mentioned. Right? Number five, he said that the man should not insult or curse her. And this includes not trying to insult her appearance. Number six, he said that the man should not boycott her. And if there's a boycott, then the boycott should be restricted to the home. Number seven, of course, is that he should not expose her secrets. Number eight, the Sheikh said that the man should not hate his wife. Rather, he should look for the good qualities in her and not just look for the bad. Number nine is that he should make things easy upon her by not trying to overburden her. Number 10, he said the man should have the best manners with his wife, meaning that his wife should see the best of what he has to offer. And number 11, he said the man should be a reason for his wife being saved from the hellfire. And number 12, that the man should have a responsible, reasonable type of jealousy for his wife. And of course, his jealousy is that the man does not want his wife speaking to other men, or he doesn't want any other men to see his wife. And this would also advise the brothers that you don't really want to be taking pictures with your wife and placing them on the internet and letting other men look at your wife like that. This particular book been translated and should be out maybe like in a month or so. So I advise people to get it, read it with your wife, you know, go over it, inshallah ta'ala, so we can give the rights to the wife and they can give us our rights, inshallah ta'ala. So this question is, bismillah, what is your advice to the parents regarding keeping their teenagers straight? In Toronto, some young men have ventured to Somalia to be with Al-Shabaab and in Syria to be with the Muslim Brotherhood, and they fall into extreme factions. So how does this happen, and how do we prevent our children from becoming extremists? Now, bismillah, as Sheikh Uthaymeen says, that it begins by that parent having that bond with their child. If that parent has a bond with that child, then that child will feel comfortable speaking with their parent. And as far as the extremism that we can ask our children, or we can ask anyone for that matter, when a person wants to go do anything in Islam, there has to be conditions, right? If a person wants to get married, marriage has conditions, right? Right? And if I can make for you an example, what is the greatest act of worship after the Shahada? Salat, right? Which salat is the best salat? Out of all the five, which one is the best? Asr salat is the best, right? So if a person enters into Islam right now, and you say, you know what, you've done Shahada, the best act of worship is the Asr salat. And so the person says, okay, that's the best salat. I'm going to stand up right now. I'm going to face that wall, and I'm going to pray Asr salat. He gets a reward for it or not? Why not? Not time for Asr. Maybe he's not in wudu. He's not facing the Qibla. So that means there are conditions. An action that is good is not good unless you meet the conditions. And the first two conditions are al-ikhlas and following the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So from the conditions of jihad, ya akhwan, there are many. The first condition is that a person has to have permission of the Muslim ruler. The only one that can declare a war is the ruler, right? It's not a free-for-all. The only one that can declare a war is the ruler. And also from the other condition is that who also has to give permission to fight? Who? The parents. So a person cannot go to Somalia or Syria if he didn't get permission from the ruler, he didn't declare war, or his parents didn't give him permission to go. It's not permissible. So therefore, that action is not something which is pious. It becomes an action of disobedience. And on the blog, we have something that's by Sheikh Bazmoul, and it's entitled, it's compiled by some of his works and other works, and it's entitled, You Don't Qualify as a Martyr. And it's mentioned how some of the youth, they want to go out and they have an intent to become a martyr, but they don't meet the qualifications to actually be a martyr. And so the person is not doing something good, the person is doing something bad. And also on the blog, we have listed the conditions of jihad. And another example, in 2 weeks, it's going to be the Eid, right? Which Eid is it going to be? Adha. And what do we do on the Eid? Slaughter what? We slaughter, right? Sheikh Ubaid al-Jabri, he said, if you go get a gazelle, cost more than a sheep, and slaughter a gazelle for Adha, is there a reward for it good? Why not? You slaughter the wrong animal. So if Allah Ta'ala has given us specific animals that we can kill, how do you think you can kill any human you want to? Who believes that? Islam, Allah Ta'ala has given us details on how to go in the bathroom and how to come out. Eat with your right hand. Use the bathroom with your left hand. Details on what on every aspect of our life, but when it comes to jihad, is a free-for-all? Does anybody believe this? Jihad has conditions, Yaquan. And so the person has to refer back to the ulama and get those conditions. And from the first one is that the ruler is the only one that can declare war. It's not a free-for-all. No. This question, does a woman who is single in this dunya receive from Allah's bounty the male version of the Huriyin in paradise if she dies before she ever marries? Okay? The only thing that we know about this is that the ulama have said that two very important points. One, that everyone in paradise will be married, and that if you go to paradise, you have everything that your heart desires. Khalas. Everyone who goes to paradise will have everything that their heart desires. And everyone will be married. As far as this question right here, Allahu A'lam. Nah. I know I usually don't like to do questions anyway, so I'm trying to, this is a struggle for me. So, what's that question? The other question about the minhaj. Okay. Nah, so this question right here is a good question. When courting for marriage, what are some of the customary manners and etiquettes? Meaning what is liked and what is disliked. This is something that actually we're going to go through tomorrow. Inshallah ta'ala, for the last short class, the Sheikh mentions about the etiquettes before marriage. The etiquettes before marriage and the rites before marriage, and what are people able to do and what can you not do. And so we'll save that for tomorrow. But from the things that he mentions, that the man and the woman cannot be alone together. And as the Mufti Sheikh Abdul Aziz mentioned, that sometimes people can be alone in public. Do you know how a person can be alone in public? So that's if you are around people that don't care what you're doing anyway. You're around maybe some of the disbelievers, and they don't care what you're doing anyway, so really you are alone in public. But we're going to mention that tomorrow, and he's going to go over the rites that occur before you even get married. How to go about finding a wife, what can you do when you become intended, how do you look at the woman. He goes over all that in this same book, and that's at the beginning of the book. Before he even gets to the rights of the spouses, he goes over all of that. Now, this question right here is about polygamy. If a sister is looking to get married and a potential brother comes along but he already has a wife, so how should the sister go about it without being looked down upon by other women? And can you advise the sisters about the permissibility of polygamy? It's unfortunate, but as you mentioned to some of the brothers, that sometimes when a brother takes a second wife, the sisters call his first wife and give her condolences. You would think somebody passed away, and they are very distraught about it. We have to understand, Yaquan, that the early minds say that there's a type of jealousy that the woman is going to have. It's a natural type of jealousy. But you don't want that to go to the realm of making something haram that Allah Ta'ala has made halal. But the thing which should be looked at is, does the brother have the means to meet the conditions, right? Everything has to be doubled. Everything that we just mentioned, these 12 conditions, it becomes how many? 24. You have to do it twice. So if a man cannot do it and be just, then he can't do it, all right? But it is something which is permissible, and the people shouldn't look down upon it. And especially, and if a sister is married to a brother that takes a second wife and he can meet the conditions, then we don't need the other sisters calling her up and giving her condolences and making it seem like her husband died or something and making matters worse. Because maybe she will be able to accept it. And something that we have seen is those women who, when they are younger, they are against it. When they become older and their choices minimized, now they're for it again. Now they're for it again. So just, you know, something which Allah Ta'ala has made permissible if you meet the conditions. So just be patient on what Allah Ta'ala has made permissible. But the brother has to meet the conditions. And unfortunately, many times the women don't like it because the men do it wrong. The man can't meet the 12 conditions, and therefore he does it wrong, and he puts a bad taste in the woman's mouth for polygamy. Now, she wants to know about advice for a sister who has become disheartened with potential brothers for marriage, and she would like to look outside of her community for a possible match. And should she ensure that they are firm upon the minhaj and good manners? We know that when you want to get married, the person does not have to be inside your community, right? You can marry any good Muslim. And that's why the statement of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salam, he said what? That the woman is married for four things. And the ulama say this applies to the man also, meaning that you should marry them for what? For the deen. You should marry a person for their religion. Naam. So the woman should definitely make sure that she marries somebody who has good aqidah, good minhaj, and good manners. And the one thing, when I speak with the brothers, the first thing that I ask the brothers when they call and want to get married, I ask them, can you give me the phone number of the imam so I can call him? And some brothers say, well, you know, the mash is kind of big, you know, you don't really know me like that. So, okay, I'll talk to you later, brother. If the imam of the mash doesn't know you, you probably don't go to the mash enough. That's just reality, you know. And you may have a good reason, but, you know. So you have to ask these pertinent questions. Do you go to the masjid? You know, do you have a job? Do you have a place to stay? You know, some of the brothers ask me, do you have a job? Brothers say, well, you know, change your career fields. Means he doesn't have a job. Ask brothers, does he have his own place? He says, I'm relocating to get close to the masjid. He lives with his mother. But the woman can't grasp the game that men play. But these are actual things that men say. And so you have to make sure that the man can meet these 12 conditions, and he's somebody that's known to have good character, and he's someone that's known to have deen. You know, and you can ascertain that you don't have to marry in your community or in the same race. And Sheikh Abdulaziz Ibn Baz, he mentions how the Sahaba used to marry across racial lines. Right? And this is some homework for the brothers. You can bring me the answer back tomorrow if no one knows. The Sahaba, or maybe somebody can give an answer on Twitter. Bilal, who was who? The Mu'adzin. And he was from where? Habish. He married who? Huh? Okay. The brother says wife was from the Quraysh, but she was who? Ahsan. She was the daughter of she was the sister of Abdurrahman ibn Auf, who was from the tribe of the Quraysh. He was from Ethiopia. Right? And Abdurrahman ibn Auf was who? Who was he? What was something about him? He was from the 10 promised paradise. He married a sister to Bilal, a man who was a former slave from Ethiopia. And this is brought by Sheikh bin Baz. He's showing that there is no racism in Islam. People, and he mentioned many examples of how the Sahaba married people who were not from their own race. So we don't have to marry somebody from your tribe, the same color as you, the same country. You can marry a person that has a good deen. Perhaps you marry somebody from your tribe and that person is going to be a monster. You marry somebody that has a deen. Now we'll do about one more. We'll get ready to do that. I don't know that. Inshallah, we tried to make some phone calls to some of the mashayikh today to answer some of these questions, but we couldn't get through. We'll try again tomorrow, inshallah. And if we can't, then we'll call back home and blog the answers, inshallah, inshallah. That's good. Okay, this question right here is a little difficult to read, but the part that I can make out is advice to a man who insults the appearance of his wife and he wants a wife who is built like a fitness model. You know where this comes from? TV. People watching TV. As we said yesterday, the wife should not expose her husband to the fitna. They bring the TV into the home. He's watching TV and now he wants someone from the TV, someone that doesn't use a stinja, but they built like a fitness model that he's in love with. Right? Because this comes from watching TV and listening to rap music. So then a person wants a wife that's built like a fitness model that doesn't worship Allah Ta'ala. SubhanAllah. The scholars also mentioned that, we'll mention that tomorrow, inshallah. Now, the brother is asking about the people making age a factor in getting married and people turning down people because they're too young. If the person can meet the conditions to get married and they can fulfill these 12 rights for the woman and they get married and the age is not something that keeps a person from getting married. We know some of the Sahaba were married young. If the person can meet the conditions of getting married, but the person has to be able to meet these conditions. If they can meet them, then there's no harm in a person getting married regardless of the age. There's nothing that prevents a person from getting married if they're young. No.